firm of Harris and Marang. Patrick Harris.
Look, Daniel, I do what I want.
Danny Marang.
That is smelling your own farts.
Easy there. These are great pipes.
I'm not going to say agree to disagree, but I really don't like you right now.
The firm of Harris and Marang on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080. The Fan.
All right, two down, one to go here. The firm of Harris and Marang. We do this bad boy every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Coming up after us, we will flip it over to Duck Insider from 1 to 2, and then the Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson, question mark?
With Dusty Hara today.
With Dusty Hara today.
Yes,
all
and
right.
I believe Joe Fisher tomorrow.
Felt it right there.
Yeah, nice. All right. The Fan Happy Hour with Dusty Hara today from 2 to 3, and then his primetime, baby, 3 to 7. Sends you all the way home, finishing up 13 hours of live, local, continuous, regional sports talk radio. Coming up on this hour, we'll get back into some NFL as it is Black Monday. There could be more on the horizon, but a bunch of dominoes have fallen. We'll play the game of which job do you want, but which coach do you want? And then our next team featured in our playoff simulator here will be the Jacksonville Jaguars at 12:30. But let's get into the Blazers, Danny, as this is a team that, as we mentioned in the last segue, has won four of that of their last five games. Denny Avdija looks all but an NBA All-Star this year. Donovan Klingon putting together some nice performances. That's my guy, the Kling Kong. And the always, always controversial Shaedon Sharpe.
There's nothing controversial about that game last night. He was a tire fire.
Yeah, it happens from the kid sometimes. Let's hopefully he can turn that around tonight.
That was one of the worst games I've seen him have in a long time. And he had been putting together some pretty prolific performances.
He did have a really nice runway, and I think that's just kind of the I don't know, the risk you take on a 22-year-old sometimes.
No, no.
He's just going to have clunkers.
Consistently, he does these. When he's good in these spurts, and then he'll have some clunkers, and then he'll have some mediocre games, and then he'll have some games that just blow your freaking hair back. And yeah, it's just like, that's the name of the game, though, in the NBA. It's consistency.
It really is.
Do you have it or don't you?
It really is. Because if you can consistently, like, you don't have to be, let's take Denny, for example. You know, if you are...
That's a different level.
If you are 28-7-7,
yeah,
it's okay to have a night that's 23-6-5.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to swing it.
That's your off night.
It's okay to swing it on the other side and have a great day of 32-10-9. You know, I think that sometimes is the frustration with, you know, with myself, definitely with you and some of the fan base out there, which what makes Shaedon so polarizing is he can have a Denny night of 28-7-7 and then the next night have 11-2-0. And you're just kind of like, what the hell? But the big thing from the weekend, I believe this was sent out by the Portland Trail Blazers, was an injury report, something fans had been clamoring for. We see it from you guys on the text line, 503-864-6326. We see it from you on the YouTube chat as well. You know, I get asked in my personal life, you know, my friends and people that I know in my circle, they know I do this show with you, Danny, and they don't listen, but they know I do this show with you. And, you know, they'll ask, they'll lean on me because, you know, we talk things we can't talk about on the air, off the air and such. And you've said it best. If there was something to say, we would know it.
And here's your press release that there's nothing to say.
I'll try to be quick about this, but this is the press release. Portland Trailblazer guard Drew Holiday has been cleared for a progression of on-court basketball activities as he continues his return to play process.
Okay. Last week, I told you before this, but a week before this came out, Drew was ramping up.
Mm-hmm.
He had a little bit of a, didn't feel quite right, and so he's working back to get back on the court.
And I think what's strange is, I don't say this to take away from you, but you weren't the only one saying it either. But it's like people felt they needed to hear it from the team. And I don't know.
There's nothing
that
to report there.
Because, you know, let's take Casey Holdall, a respectable,
yeah,
great, great guy who's really good at his job. You and him live in different worlds. One works for the team, one doesn't.
Yes.
You know, one does a radio show
and Casey,
every day.
Casey's the one who wrote this. This is the,
right,
the one on the press release. That's Casey's job to, when the team gives him that, to put that out there. When I go out and say this and, or, you know, quote unquote report it, you know, I don't do the breaking news thing. I've always said I never want any part of it because it's, ugh. But when I say this, like, we're both getting it from the same people.
I know. Whether it's, yeah, whether it's you, Casey, or Hyken, or yeah, somebody like that, it's strange how fan bases, and I don't even know if it's fan bases. It might just be this one.
Nah, it's around the league, but it's there. I mentioned this on the TV show the other day. There is a sense of entitlement of like, we deserve to know. It's like, you don't though.
It does feel weird that with this team, were we paying attention during the Jody Allen years? Like, what makes you think anybody was really going to know anything? Well, they've held this stuff closer than Dan Lanning holds an injury report.
Right. So I think though, just as speaking as both a fan,
sure,
and somebody who selfishly sits at this desk and has to write updates every day,
mm-hmm,
it's a little bit bewildering because you can go to the Trailblazers PR Twitter account, or if like the day of the game, you go to ESPN and the score's on there and you can hit the game cast and there are injury reports.
About 1 o'clock, 1:30, we'll know if Jeremy's going to play tonight.
Well, there's requirements. So sure, it's 40 or 45 minutes. You have to have the final one in before the game. And I believe 1 o'clock local is when the first one goes out.
Between 11 and one. Yeah. I think one of their new rules. But the what I think is frustrating, again, like I said, as both a fan and somebody that sits at this desk, is you can go look at that ESPN game cast with their injury designations, and you'll see it's been a couple of weeks now where you see both like Drew Holiday and Matisse Thybulle listed as game time decisions for a couple of weeks straight.
Months.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's where it starts to get a touch frustrating from the consumer side.
Yeah, I hear you on that.
I understand the frustration.
Oh, like, totally.
That part of it I understand. But here's the thing. If you think you're frustrated, think about the team.
Yeah.
They're just like, all right, when you're talking, especially when you're talking about with Drew and Jeremy specifically, when you're dealing with calf and Achilles right now, brother, I'm telling you, damn near every team in the league is so antsy.
We've lamented about this for basically since the start of the season.
This is like
since the start of the show.
This is like the start of CTE in football, where like when it like ramped up, like anybody got hit in the head, you're like, nope, get your butt over here. Like, we're going to check you. Like, calves and Achilles right now are DEFCON 1.
But the flip side, you know, I'm going to read this text, and I get it. I don't think I live in this world, but I do get it. This texter says, sometimes nothing is something. Fans are high maintenance chucks that need to be assured that they are being heard all the time. I hear you on that. I don't know. Like Matisse Thybulle, for example, this statement right here, while reconditioning for return to play following left thumb ligament surgery, Matisse Thybulle has been working on a progressive ramp up despite persistent symptoms with right knee tendinopathy. He continues to progress with on-court work and conditioning, and his status will be updated as appropriate. That tells me nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything, I maybe, and this may be why I'm in the minority of this, or we as a unit, I'd rather, like, that feels like you're stupid and I need to tell you more again.
And again,
it makes me feel dumb.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I already know that.
Yeah.
Why are you telling me that?
Mm-hmm.
Again, as a consumer, it feels like that, I forget, was it a progressive ad with the old dude in the sporting goods store with the dollar bill on the end of the fishing hook?
So close, you almost had it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what it feels like. That's what it feels like as a fan trying to follow this.
When he was out and we had this discussion, when we spent like two segments on it, I was like, this is my point. Because if you go read the replies to this, it's nothing but people bitching.
Well, yeah. I'm
there's the
sure.
occasional like, thanks, we deserve this. But it's like, you didn't get anything.
Yeah.
Like, you got nothing out of this. This is exactly what has been said for the last month.
Now, I will say, there is a little nugget in here that I did enjoy, and what? That is Scoot.
No.
That felt a little more than what we've heard. Now, it's, again, not much.
It's non-contact.
But still, has initiated non-contact on-court basketball activities as he advances to the next phase of rehabilitation for his left hamstring. He'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks with updates provided as appropriate.
That last line.
This is the United States president. 2 weeks.
I don't know if you. I don't know if you noticed.
2 weeks now.
I don't know if you know this. Matisse Thybulle and his status will be updated as appropriate. Scoot Henderson with updates provided. Updates provided as appropriate.
Drew Holiday updated accordingly.
Yeah, Jeremy is legitimately day to day. Like it's just like all right. Like how's it feeling today, dog? Like because it wasn't like an acute injury. It's just a thing that is. It's tendonitis. It's not something you like. You didn't see Jeremy like reach down and do the calf grab. Like it's like with those kind of things. I will say this, and this isn't just a Blazers thing. I have beat this drum I've been doing this for 14 plus years. Across injuries, timelines are hopes.
Sure.
And I
especially soft tissue.
People have gotten on me over the years for being more pessimistic with injuries. Mm-hmm. I'm always going to be more pessimistic. Why? Because the likelihood of them meeting the beginning of the threshold is slim to none.
For sure.
Across the board.
Too much money on the line, not just for the player, but the team as well. It's an asset. It's a business.
Beyond that, I'd rather say 16 weeks and have a guy come back at 14. Because
mm-hmm.
guess what? That sounds better.
See, so then why don't these teams operate that
way? I don't. Because they don't want to give anything. You That's know? The reality. They don't want to give anything.
And you know, it's like with the scoot or whatever, it will be reevaluated in 4 weeks. Well, you know that the 4 weeks, there's no sort of a timeline where somebody is coming back in those 4 weeks. You can say, sure, we'll go back and look at him, but we know it's going to be another 4 weeks after that, probably at least. So then why not just say, look, this is probably going to be a couple months long thing. We'll take a look like halfway through that and see how we're progressing. But this is not going to be a 4 week thing where we're going to go back and look in 4 weeks and he's going to be back in 4 to 5. This is probably going to be an 8 to 10 week, but we're still going to go look again in like 4 weeks to see how it's progressing.
Well, as it pertains to Scoot, they said 4 to 10 weeks, and they even caveated so the press release came on the 27th, media day was the 28th. Joe Cronin flat out said, we're probably looking at 10 weeks. And even then, hamstrings, they're tricky. You just don't know.
Especially an athlete like Scoot.
Who's built on burst.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the Seinfeld episode where Kramer busts in and he asks Jerry, how often would you say you cut your toenails? And he's like, I don't know, I'd say every 4 to 12 weeks.
But
you know, so
yeah.
It's like, just... Let's
hello,
just,
Newman.
Let's not... Let's just... Yeah, hello, Newman. But so let's not try to set too early of an expectation like you just said. I'd rather give me the long term, the longer expectation, and if we beat that... Great. That's gravy, and everybody is super happy.
But here's the thing. If you give the long, guess what fans do?
What?
They freak the hell out.
They're
going
to freak the hell out when you say 4 to 10 weeks, and we'll reevaluate in 4 weeks anyway.
Yeah.
Whether that turns into 10 to 12, they're still going to freak out.
Here's the other thing, too. If you want to go, like, I know we're running up against it, but if you want to tighten the tinfoil hat, I've seen so many people like, I shouldn't say so many. It's a very loud, very small minority of people. Like, oh, the Blazers are tanking. Oh, they're doing this. Oh, they're doing that. Oh, the medical staff. Oh, it's like, because of the Gary Payton thing.
If they were tanking, they wouldn't be the 9th seed in the Western Conference right now.
Yes, I know. It's very dumb. But beyond that, because...
They didn't know Denny was going to do this.
Yeah, well, the...
Stop it, dude!
The GP2 of it all. You know, there was a bunch
Such
of people...
Such an ugly situation.
Well, there's a bunch of people that, they're like, you know, the Blazers are rushing him back. This is so nasty because that god-awful article from Slater and Shams, it was just still one of the biggest malpractices in basketball journalism I've seen maybe in my entire career. Just an absolute hit piece. But behind the scenes, players were telling me that Gary had been ready for 6 weeks. And I had to kind of like, you know, and guys were not happy about it. But because of the narrative getting spun of like, oh, the Blazers are doing this and that, it's all one of those things where, oh, the Blazers are bad. Oh, it's evil. So they can't leave out the beginning timeline. You know what I mean? It's like they're damned if they do, damned if they don't. And that's not just a Blazers thing. It's a
league-wide
thing.
Well, let's put a pin in this. Let's come back to this at closing arguments because I want to read some texts on the other side, but we got a lot to get to today. We'll come back at closing arguments with these. I'll read some of your texts. And also I have a thought that might put a little bit of the fan side in perspective. When we come back, it's Black Monday, everybody. You lost your job, and it ain't cool like college football when you get paid to go away. We'll stick in the jump to the NFL next. 105.1 The Fan.
Hey, real quick, hamstrings are tricky.
Oh, I'm tired of hearing that, Danny.
Well, then listen.
What? Just because my headphones are on doesn't mean I listen.
Listen.
We'll get to some Blazers, more chatter, and closing arguments. I see your text messages, my friends. I'll read some of those when we get back to it, but I wanted to slide back in the NFL. Look, all right, we got a prerogative here. I got S to do, all right? Can't just, what do you think this is? 3 hours of Blazers? We could do 3 hours of Blazers. Wouldn't be that difficult either.
Probably could. Yeah.
We easily could. What are you talking about? Be hard. Be easy. Gonna make Patrick watch a ton of NBA. Well, you better look out, guys. With the NFL slowing down here, college football almost done, you're going to get NBA Patrick here pretty soon. Mm. My Pacers, the worst team in basketball. Maybe we can get, DeBonsa
NBA
in the draft?
Patrick following up a Blue Line Brandon.
The Pacers finally getting top 10 pick would just be... Great.
Oh, yeah. If blue,
I should say top 10, a top 5 pick.
If there's Blue Line Brandon, what do you call me? Am I like a free throw merchant?
Post up, Patty.
Post up,
oh,
Patty.
There we go. That's perfect. Yes.
Oh, you know me. All 5, 6, and 3/4
yeah.
of me.
Yeah.
Posted up in the key.
Three quarters up that matters. Thick back end.
Yeah. And they might call me three in the key, mostly because I'm lost and don't know where I am.
Three in the key. P.
Yeah, there you go.
You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. I think we'll probably take a look at maybe the jobs that you love that are open maybe another time, since we're a little short on this segment. Mm. But we'll just get straight into Black Monday in the NFL, as it's so romantically called. Nothing really too surprising here. I think maybe some people thought maybe Raheem Morris at the end of the year might have saved his job.
Yeah, it wasn't just Raheem, though. Did you read the letter that Arthur Blank put out?
I did.
Buddy.
I think it's...
That was great.
That's the kind of owner you want. I know there have been times where if you're a Falcons fan, Blank might drive you a little crazy. Obviously, the Super Bowl debacle with Dan Quinn and Kyle Shanahan will leave and Matt Ryan will leave an ugly taste in your mouth for maybe the rest of your life if you don't win a Super Bowl.
Especially that in the Dirty Bird, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Elway.
Good time, though.
It's tough. Right? That's an Elway Super Bowl.
Right?
Yes, yeah. That's an Elway Super Bowl. But here, you know, just to run through it really quickly, the Cards fire Gannon. Okay, yep. No surprise there. We'll get to the Pete in a second. What else am I missing?
Cleveland
fires Stefanski. I guess it's time. I was going to look up some stats here, but you're talking about, and I didn't get the chance to, you're talking about a guy who coached there for 6 years and probably picked in the top 10 four of those six years. He doesn't have a quarterback. You made him bail on Baker.
Won what? Two playoff games?
He's won coach of the year twice. Yeah.
Or won a playoff game?
Nobody's more excited about that than Stefanski. He will be the number one candidate to be a head coach, unless you really want to go coordinator route.
Sounds Giants.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that hire.
Oh, you mean I get a quarterback? Cool.
Yeah. I mean, I already know how to deal with crappy owners. Yeah. The Maras, that's cupcakes compared to what's going on over there.
I get a quarterback and a running back
and a
true number one receiver.
Yeah. Oh, and there's some defensive players, and we got the fifth overall pick. Sounds great to me.
Oh, and I'm not in Cleveland anymore.
Yeah.
Let's see.
You've got Tennessee's the other one too.
Tennessee's been open. The Giants have been open. And then the big one that I actually want to spend a little time on, and that is the Raiders firing Pete Carroll. Not just because you are a resident Raider fan here at the station, Danny, but
and I love Pete.
But I'm a little surprised by it. We were chatting about it a little bit off the air, and how this isn't really an indictment of Pete. It's more of this roster. You mentioned it. We all think Carolina is doo-doo. The gap between Carolina and the Raiders in a roster standpoint is a canyon.
Yeah.
And the fact to put this on Pete, I think, is a little rough. I think everybody is quick to rush to Pete's age.
Mm-hmm.
But
Pete was always going to be a stopgap. I thought he'd be 2 to 3 years.
I thought so, too. Is this not Whittingham at Michigan-ish? Yeah. Like a pedigree of someone who could win if you put the right pieces?
Here's the thing about the Raiders this year. They sucked.
Very much.
But they weren't dysfunctional. They just sucked.
No.
There's a level of professionalism to the organization, which is what was supposed to happen. There wasn't all this off-field stuff. There wasn't the only real drama was the Chip Kelly stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that.
And that's saying a lot in the last 20 years.
The
since
bar is
Gruden
the floor.
Left.
The bar is the floor, man. It is what it is. And it's just like, look, you know, I would love Stefanski. There's a bunch of noise around Flores leaving Minnesota and taking over.
The rumor I've heard is Brady wants Flores as the head coach and Dable as the offensive coordinator.
Which,
I love it.
You want to put Dable as an OC? Two thumbs up. I'm all about it.
Look, running back Patriots ain't so bad. Look at Vrabel and McDaniels.
Yeah.
That ain't so bad over there.
No. Look, I'm totally fine. Like, if that's what ends up going, like, obviously the Flores stuff, but also Flores had to deal with Miami. And that happened. We're talking about absolute S-show owners.
And he came out on the right end of
that. Yeah. And guess what he's done in Minnesota?
Been great.
Yeah.
Been fantastic.
So, look, as far as hirings go, but as far as the Raiders go, and like the Brady hiring, I'm still a little leery of. It's just...
It seems very, to use, I think the word of my day today is performative.
Mm-hmm.
It feels very like, we have Tom.
Yeah.
Pay no attention to the owner with buck teeth and a weird haircut.
Mm-hmm.
We have Tom.
Well, who's being pushed forward?
Tom.
Yeah. Davis has taken kind of a step, which, look, unless
it's probably a good thing.
Unless you're Al, and I should say the last 8 years of Al out, because Al lost it at the end.
The end of Al was rough.
But Al was, I don't care what anybody says, from, you know, the Raiders coming from the AFL to the NFL to 2002, there's no one. There's no one more important as for a team than Al Davis.
Well, and I think, kind of what we were talking about with Carolina, being that this offseason is huge for them. This is why I wanted to talk about the Raiders, not because of you necessarily or my love for Pete Carroll as well. It's that the Raiders are in a real, real turning point here with the number one pick in the draft, potentially the Heisman Trophy winner at number one, or this quote unquote, not Trevor Lawrence, Elway, Luck level, but can't miss prospect potentially in Dante Moore, whether you like him or not. This is the first time they've drafted number one overall since they took Jamarcus. I know you guys hate hearing that, and I don't mean to stab the wound while it's open, but this is a big draft for the Raiders.
Trade back.
This is a big draft. Whether it's trade back or take Mendoza or whatever, this is a big draft
that
a Brady Davis, you know, collaboration with potential Brady's guys at the helm. This is a big deal, and you have to get this right. And I would say it goes. GM's got to be right. Head coach has got to be correct. Your coordinator's got to be correct. You got to pick the right guys, whether it's one or trading back. I tend to believe they're going to stick with the number one pick, and they're going to take a quarterback.
Trade back from one to five through eight, get a pile of picks, and because the rest of the roster needs help.
Agreed. A quarterback ain't going to fix this.
Look, Ashton Jeanty, I love. Brock Bowers, I love. Max Crosby, I love. Everybody, Jackson Powers Johnson, as long as he can stay healthy. Colton Miller, those two guys in the offensive line.
If you would have kept Jacoby Myers, I like Jacoby Myers.
Fine again.
I know, but a two?
Yeah, no, totally fine. But as far as like what I'm comfortable building out with, three guys for sure, five pretty damn sure. Outside of that, I don't care. They have so many holes they need to plug, and I don't think you have a Luck or an Elway or a Lawrence anybody in that draft. So trade back, because there's one team. One team's going to be like, we'll take Mendoza or we'll take Dante.
Without a doubt.
And if it's somewhere between five and eight.
The Jets are sitting there right there like, this is Manning Leaf.
Yeah.
Whoever you take, we don't care. We'll take the other one.
Yeah. Like
even if Ty Simpson's on the board.
Whatever it is. And I'm sitting there looking at it going, trade back to five through eight, get two other ones, and build out the rest of your freaking roster.
The Raiders will be the fun team to watch, that's for sure. And we'll keep up with them, especially when we get closer and closer to the NFL draft, as they have secured the number one overall draft pick. We'll get into some more draft order stuff throughout the week and then see where they go when it comes to a coaching hire. We'll have to keep an eye on that. When we come back, we'll take our playoff stroll through teams, how they got here, what built them, where they came from. We'll start with another, not first-timer, obviously, but first-timer in a long time, the Jacksonville Jaguars, maybe the most surprised team of the AFC this year as they make their way to the playoffs. But first, there's the Kahuna with sports.
You ever had a big Kahuna burger? I spit like a
semi-automatic. Closing arguments is next to send you on your way. We'll get back into a little Blazer chatter that we had at the beginning of the hour. But we decided to do a little kind of fun experiment this week instead of really breaking down matchups, kind of just spending some time on each NFL team in the playoffs this year. As you know, the playoffs, as we mentioned in the 11 o'clock hour, you can go back and check that out on the podcast if you like, wherever you get your podcasts or the Odyssey app, just kind of all over the place. You know, there's probably five or six teams that could win a Super Bowl this year, and that's a lot of fun. So instead of the traditional of breaking down matchups, let's take a peek at these teams and see how they got here. We did the Carolina Panthers in hour number deuce, and let's get into the Jacksonville Jaguars, okay? I know at the beginning of this season, Danny, you and I had a lot of fun with kind of like toying these storylines and toying the idea of, you know, which teams have a lot to prove. Obviously, we had the Ravens on there and the Bills on there and the Bengals, and that's mostly quarterback-driven, and there were no exception for me when it came to quarterback. And my guy that needed to play well, that I felt really needed to kind of do something, or we were going to have some major issues, was Trevor Lawrence. And I think you could argue that he has delivered. Now, a lot of it for Jacksonville has been the emergence of Liam Cohen. I think Liam Cohen has been the perfect hit for this squad. He kind of had some standards that he needed going in. Didn't like the GM. Said, you got to get that ass out of here before I'm coming in. And Jacksonville obliged. And here they are. They have won eight games in a row. Let me walk you through their schedule. They have won eight games in a row and nine of their last 10. their loss being against the Texans in a borderline shootout game, which most people don't get into.
By the way, they scored 29 on the Texans.
That's impressive.
That's like 50 on anyone else.
They lost a close game to the Seahawks this year. They did get blown out by the Rams, but they've got wins over the Niners, over the Texans, over the Panthers. Those are all playoff teams. Now, their last games, their last run is Chargers. Good win.
Mm-hmm.
Cardinals, Titans, Colts, Jets, Broncos, great win. Mm-hmm. They handed
beat
that team
the crap out of them.
Colts, Titans. So, you know, it's the Colts on the back half after Daniel Jones goes down. The schedule breaks in their favor.
But what do they do, with the exception of that Cardinals game, what do they do to every one of those teams?
Boat racing. And you know, we talk about Indiana, Oregon, okay? Mm-hmm. They're punching people in the mouth. They punch the Broncos in the mouth in their hometown. At Denver, at Mile High Stadium, punched them in the face and said, we're better than you. And to your point, they have become the most dangerous team in the playoffs. And why, Danny? Trevor Lawrence.
I was just doing the math here real quick, just going from the Tennessee game. So was that 6 games? Yeah, 6 games. Trevor Lawrence has 15 passing touchdowns, 1 interception, and 4 rushing touchdowns.
That's great. That's fantastic.
19 total touchdowns, 1 interception. And in those games, he has thrown for 229, 244, 330, 279, 263, and 255. He has had completion percentages of 60, 57, 63, 64, 63, 73. I mean, what do you want from
the guy? Did you just hear me sighs?
What do you want from the guy?
I
Nobody's playing quarterback better than him right now.
Right now, I don't think so. You know, I mean, Josh has the Superman capability. Yeah. So Josh's ceiling, obviously, bigger than Trevor. Well, I don't know. Is Josh Allen's ceiling higher than Trevor Lawrence? I don't think anybody would say that right now. But, like, pull back for a second. Just pull back for a second. Trevor Lawrence was the most can't-miss quarterback since Andrew Luck, yes, who was the can't-miss since John Elway.
Yes. And those guys don't come across very often.
They don't.
You've got the arm. You've got the frame. You've got the IQ. You've got the mobility. Like
you're a winner.
Yeah. I mean, Aaron was that guy, but he wasn't taking one.
Exactly.
Like, Aaron ended up being the prototype of prototypes. Lawrence is right there, and he has been that guy forever. Very, very similar to Elway and Luck. We're like, yeah, no, this guy's a dude.
And I think you can get to the point where you realize that he was stuck in that situation because the Jags were... His coaches are Doug Peterson on the end of his run, Urban Meyer, disaster, and now he's got an up-and-coming hot shot offensive mind.
And Cohen's been great.
And Liam Cohen. And what'd they do this offseason? Invested in the offensive line. Okay, the Travis Hunter pick going up to get that, we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah.
I didn't love it at the time. I don't think you loved it at the time. It just felt a lot for a player that was a very unknown commodity, mm-hmm, in the sense of...
He's very different.
Can he do what he's done at this level? And I know he had the injury, so I don't want to write it off yet.
No. But he also wasn't setting the world on fire early either.
Agreed. And I hope that this isn't like a San Francisco 49ers situation where how good could you be if you didn't take Trey Lance?
Mm-hmm.
And how good could you have been if you didn't give up another one,
mm-hmm,
to go get Travis Hunter? Now, I could be wrong. I could eat crow and Travis Hunter could be great. But I saw Trey Lance with the Chargers. He's not very good.
No.
So you kind of wonder, would the Niners have somebody even more awesome should they kept that pick? Now, like the Niners, the Jags have overcome that. The Niners hired Kyle Shanahan. The Jags have hired Liam Cohen. Is Liam Cohen Shanny? I don't know that yet. But you invest in the offensive line. This defense is playing lights out. You're finally getting the true production out of your quarterback. You took him to go to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You're not crazy. I don't know if I'm going to, but I don't think you're crazy.
Look, they don't have like this. They don't have a Myles Garrett. They don't have a Micah Parsons.
Nope,
but
nope.
They've got some pass rushers. They lead the NFL in takeaways. I mean, you want to talk about the back end? Sweet Moses. Antonio Johnson and Devin Lloyd both have 5 picks. You go look through forced fumbles. You're like, was it 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 guys have forced a fumble?
That's fantastic.
Like
that's complete. That allows somebody to have a bad game,
mm-hmm,
and other people to step up.
And then
if you're playing against the best left guard in the NFL, your pass rusher on the right side might have a day because your pass rusher on your left side, mm-hmm, could have a great day because your pass rusher on the right side's bottled up all day.
But you've got on your front, you've got Josh Allen, Eric Armstead, Trevon Walker. Like, you've got talent.
Armstead's great.
I mean, like, you've got talent there. But then you also have a tackling machine in Olakun. Mm-hmm. I think he led the NFL. He had 143 tackles this year. I think that's what I saw earlier. Let me pull that back up. But they're the Panthers on steroids.
Yeah.
Like their floor is very high. Like they've got, but here's the thing.
What do we talk about the Oregon Ducks?
But they've got dudes. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. They've got some dudes. Brian Thomas has been underwhelming this year compared to what he was in his rookie campaign. He had the alligator arms early in the season where he didn't go get that ball and turn into a pick. I was like, ooh, this isn't looking good. But you just kind of go through it and you just go, I mean, they're good.
They're just good.
I mean, Etienne has been very good for them. Like, mm-hmm. He had a rough year last year. He's bounced back. He finished the year with 1,000 yards. Like, they're a good team, man.
As far as the future goes, I believe they don't have a first-round draft pick this year in the NFL draft because I believe it's Cleveland's, part of the Travis Hunter trade. I'd have to double-check that. But either way, these guys, unlike Carolina, are in a fantastic place because even if I am correct on this, again, I'm not sure, I'd have to double-check, even if they don't have a first-round draft pick, you're going to watch the playoffs and you're going to see where did we miss? And then you're going to plug that hole mm-hmm. in the second round and the third round and try to back end it with maybe a skill position in the fourth and fifth.
Because you've already paid Trevor.
And so now you get to tweak your team. Mm-hmm. You're another year under Liam Cohen next year. Hell, who knows? Maybe they win the Super Bowl. And you could find those little spots that need shoring up, whether it's depth. You know, another...
And don't forget, you got Cam Little.
Another playmaker, and you got Cam Little, who's maybe the best kicker in the NFL. Yeah. The future is very, very bright for this team. Not just this year, but years going forward. All right, let's send it into closing argument. We'll get back into a little bit of Blazers as we're having a conversation about the desire for injury status updates. I'll read some of your texts from that segue we did at the beginning of the Big Nooner, and I'll offer you a counter thought as to something pertains to this particular Blazer team. We'll call it a day next. 105.1 The Fan.
The firm of Harris and Marang is wrapping up for the day.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
Which means it's time for the closing arguments. Brought to you by Leskin Law. One day divorce mediation. Peace treaties, not war plans. Visit LeskinLaw.com for more information.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
On the Fan Sports Network.
You can't handle the truth.
105.1 and 1080 The Fan.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Closing arguments brought to you by Leskin Law. Visit LeskinLaw.com for more information. Coming up on tomorrow's program, it's a Tuesday, so it's free consultation at 12:15. Anything you need some advice on, the firm of Harris and Marang are here to help you out. Our teams will take a peek at, as far as playoffs go, we'll look at the New England Patriots. And the Pittsburgh Steelers will also take a time machine to the past for the first time. You can rewind and fast forward. We'll go to the past and take a look at our NFL picks, and we'll laugh and commiserate and cry all at the same time. And we'll definitely hit some Blazers tomorrow as well. But I wanted to use closing arguments to finish up a conversation we were having at the top of the hour about the Blazers and this injury report that they put out. I wanted to read some of your texts, 503-864-6326. Let's see, where was this? I'm not worried about how long it will take players to come back. I'd rather they err on the side of caution. I'm not owed diddly squat. And I think that goes to the point that you were trying to make, Danny, that it's like, look, I know you want it, but there's nothing to give you.
Yeah.
And I was going to counter you with this just to try to have this conversation of, I think for fans, the reason that they're so hungry about it with this team is the amount of injuries this team has sustained. Not just but the Dame out long-term, mm-hmm. the Drew being longer, the Scoop being unknown, mm-hmm. that it feels like every night we're afraid someone's going down again.
Look around the league. Guys are beat up everywhere.
And maybe that's the problem. Maybe we're only watching Blazer games.
Jokic is down for a month. And Wemby was out for a month. I mean, Giannis was out for, you know, what, 3 weeks. Like, Luka's missed time. Mm-hmm. Like, big-time stars are out. Jason Tatum's out for the year.
LeBron sat for a month.
Yeah, Tyrese Halliburton's out for the year. Like, the Pacers are one of the worst teams in basketball.
And they lost a player and
Miles
Turner.
Did you watch the Pelicans game the other night? Did you see who they were rolling out there?
Oof. There's some bad rosters.
But not just like that, but like who they're missing.
You mentioned Şengün as well, and that's an NBA contender.
Yeah.
That's a title contender right there.
Van Vliet's out You know, they're hoping he can make it back by the end of the season. He tore his knee in training camp. Like you just look around the NBA, man. Like, guys are just beat up everywhere. There are a lot of discussions around the NBA around all of the injuries that are happening. Like, the NBA is commissioning a report because of the Achilles injuries and how rampant they've been running. Like, it's just...
was something going on and we didn't know about it, or teams weren't taking it seriously.
Well, I don't think it's that. I think it's that we're getting to the era where these guys have been spent their whole lives basically playing games.
And I think this is another part, too, again, to stay locally. With Thibault, they never once updated and said, oh, by the way, his thumb is okay, but now his knee hurts. And I get it. I get it. You feel like it's moving the goalpost. But I don't remember as much people having a problem when Bill Belichick did this.
Well, it's not just that. I'm not saying these guys are doing that, but a big part of this also, people are gambling.
Right.
That's a big part of it, which is another reason why it's so protected.
And I think that's also something that I miss out on because I'm never thinking about gambling. Because I'm not a gambler. Now, I'm not saying you should or shouldn't, but I never think about it because I'm not a gambler. So maybe that benefits me in a sense where I'm just kind of like, dude, if a guy's hurt, a guy's hurt.
I get DMs all the time from somebody like, hey, man, do you know if so-and-so is active tonight? And if I showed you, like, if you go into your DMs on Twitter,
gambling.
There's a second, like there's your DMs and there's like a second page. If I click in that, it's spam and people looking for gambling.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't even read them.
I catch this in the EPL, dude. I play fantasy EPL and like Declan Rice didn't play last game and I started him. And so you don't get points for that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started him this game and everybody benched him and he had two goals. It's like everybody just gets pissy because it's fantasy and gambling and all that stuff. And the reality is I was like, well, I'm going to take a chance that Declan will play because when he does, he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I completely understand. It's tough. I'm trying to 10 toes down this and I can't figure out how. Because I get you wanting more, but if there's nothing, I don't know what to tell you.
Look, and that's the thing. If Scoot had returned to play, or like it's like really ramped up and been on the court doing one-on-ones, 3-on-3, something like that, and you didn't get an update, yeah, you probably have a reason to be a little whiny.
Yeah.
But that's just not the reality.
We'll talk more Blazers tomorrow as they'll take on the Jazz tonight at 7 o'clock. Closing arguments brought to you by Leskin Law. Visit leskinlaw.com for more information. Leskin Law's one-day divorce mediation, peace treaties, not war plans. We'll catch you all tomorrow for Danny Morang. That is Jeff Rust. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I would do.
Bye.